This morning I want to talk about the church. Actually make a case for the church. Jesus himself talks about establishing the church. In Matthew chapter 16 says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Just prior to this, Jesus had asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it was on that proclamation that the church is built on. But we are here to declare Jesus Christ. We are here because we are followers of Jesus Christ. I shared with you guys that talking to a gentleman in town, and he goes, "You know, if you just drop this whole Jesus is God thing, you'd probably get more people to come to church." And I was like, if we drop the Jesus is God thing, there's no reason to get together as the church, right? Because we're not a social club. We're not an exclusive club that no one can join. But we are all followers of Jesus Christ. Actually, we talk about the idea of being a family. Ephesians, Paul uses the idea of that the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." That part of the Christian life, that we belong to Christ, is that process of he is working us. Church is not full of perfect people. Amen? You're looking at one. Right? But we are followers of Christ, and he works in us. And I love the idea that talks about the idea of husband and wives and how as a type or a picture of Christ in the church. As a church, we are the bride of Christ, and he is working in us to perfect us, to sanctify us by the cleansing of the word. And part of what we do every Sunday we get together, and probably I try to do this every time we get together, is that we get and spend some time in the word, because God's word is what's effective in our lives. You know, you guys don't need to hear what I have to say. You need to hear what God has to say. And as followers, we gather together, and in here, he works in us to create in us what he needs us to be. And his goal is to make us holy and without blemish. But you guys know, we look in the world today, and church is not a very popular thing. If you look around, we have a lot of empty seats. And we're not alone. Right? I mean, at this point, I'm going to guess, I think I quickly calculated it out one time, that with all the pews, we get all the pews filled, we could probably get 250 people in here. We're a little shy of that this morning. Right? But there was a time, I'm sure, when this church was full of people. You drive down the street and you see church after church after church. Every community had two or three different churches, and they were full of people. But even now today, people have turned around and say, "Look, I don't need church. I don't want church." Part of it had to do with this idea of commuting, right? People couldn't go very far, right? You walked, you may have had a horse and buggy, but even that, you didn't go very far. So each community had its own church. And now I can go anywhere I want to go. Today we live in a society, there's so much competition with church. Right? I remember, and I'm not that old. I keep saying that. I'm hoping you believe it. But I'm not that old. I remember as a kid, Sunday, there was no sports, no school activities. There was really not much to do besides church. Actually, my mom was such a stickler that if we missed church for any reason, which we hardly didn't do, we were one of those families that was always in church, always involved. But if someone was sick or something happened, we couldn't go, my mom wouldn't let us go outside and play during church time. We had to wait till church was over, and then she'd kick us out for the afternoon. Right? Because she didn't want people to think that we were some heathens off wild in the world. Right? Things have changed. And now Sundays are packed full of sports, right? School activities, worldly activities. There's so much for us to do now. And people will do what they want. And people would rather go play sports. People would rather go fishing, golfing, whatever you want to do, and they're filling the gap as opposed to come to church. That's where people are. You will find time for what is important to you. Right? And so in here, the church has really become sort of this bane of existence, if you will, in some people's minds, that in here, that it's a popular thing to disrespect the bride of Christ. And I had to phrase it that way. Among Christians even, right? You probably know people. I mean, you're here this morning. I'm thankful for that. But you know people who say they're Christians who don't go to church. And actually, we'll make fun of churches, right? Sort of that organized religion. I don't need that. I can just serve God on my own. That wasn't God's intent. His goal and his ambition was to build the church. The word church means a called out assembly. We are called out of the world and called to assemble together. I remember during COVID, the big, you know, argument sort of came in when we shut down for a while, and people were like, I don't need the church. And you guys know, we went through that. We needed each other. And we still need each other in this. And so many people, like I said, I can't help it. If you want to get me most upset, is you make fun of my bride. You can make fun of me all day long. Right? I'm pretty much an open target. But boys, you mess with my family. Right? How do you think Christ feels when his bride is disrespected? I don't think he likes it. When his family is disrespected and we are the children of God. And so in here, I'm a big proponent of church. You say, well, pastor, you know, of course you are. You're the pastor. Well, I was like this before. And maybe I'm a pastor because I believe this way, right? But in here, the church is so imperative to how God designed to work into this world. Now, I got to give a little bit of framework here. There's four terminologies I want to kind of look at this morning. First of all, we talk about the idea of the universal church. And that this is when you are saved, you are part of the body of Christ, the greater body of Christ. I can't help but think that every time we start worship service here, right now I know there's a church in Ecuador who meet at the exact same time we meet. I was on a mission trip. Met some wonderful people down in Ecuador in their church. Their church service is at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And so they are down there worshiping. To me, it kind of gives me a little goosebumps thinking that people on the other side of the equator right now are worshiping the same God that we are, doing the same things we are doing. And we're connected through all this. This morning, there are churches all around who are worshiping God. I think God hears that as one voice of praise towards him. Right? Doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Protestant, doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal or Baptist or Nazarene, that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you are part of the universal body. But oftentimes what we see in Scripture is addressing to a local body of believers. For instance, a big portion of our New Testament is to the church that's in Colossae, the church that's in Galatia, right? And church in Ephesus. We see these local churches. Revelation, we have the seven churches that are addressed to, which are local assemblies of how we function with one another. You know, it's interesting to say, oh, we're part of this big universal type thing. But to put things into action, it has to be local. To make a difference with one another. I remember talking with someone, and they're in the hospital, and family asked if I would go visit them, so I did. And it was interesting talking to this gentleman. He goes, I'm a believer. I'm saved. I said, oh. I said, has anyone from your church come to see you in the hospital? And he says, well, no, I don't go to church. He goes, I watch church on TV. So he watches, you know, some church in Texas, some mega church. And I said, well, how's that helping you now? And he goes, he's in the hospital all alone, has no one. In order for the church to be effective, there has to be that local community of believers. That people you can see and look forward to. I always think of Sunday morning as we gather together. This is like a big family reunion every week. And some of you I don't see throughout the week. And this is my chance to see you. And how you doing? I've been praying for you, right? My wife kind of rolls her eyes because usually she's getting ready to start and I'm out here doing all of that. But that's important. We need each other. And so in here, we talk about the idea of a local versus universal. But also we talk about the idea of being a member of a church and membership of a church. The Bible talks about we are members together. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a member of the body of Christ. You were brought into that body. Now, membership is a slightly different thing. Because in here, we look at the idea of a church, and I was reading a comment, and someone was saying that, well, you know, I don't go to a church, I just get together with a few friends. That's not church. Actually, church has structure. Church has responsibilities. There's obligations. There's officers. There's things that God has put in place for the church to function. And to carry out that function, we have a thing that's called membership. Now, we're glad that you are here, but in order to function in certain things, the church here asks you to be a member of the church. And I know some of you, I'm going to kind of really put a bee in your bonnet this morning, because I'd love to see some of you guys actually become members of the church, because I think there's much that can be accomplished if you become an official part. I kind of liken it to, you know, a couple who's dating, but then they get married. Right? You make that commitment. And in that, there's obligations on both sides of things. Church membership is like that. It's going from dating to being committed. And commitment, that's not a popular word today. Actually, you talk to many organizations are suffering. You know, we talk about the Legion. We talk about Hometown Heroes of trying to have that next month. Actually, November. Next month, it's October. We're not there yet. But in November, I have Hometown Heroes. And the Legion is having problems getting new members, right? Because no one wants to commit anymore. No one wants to belong anymore. No one wants responsibility or accountability in anything. So our society has gone very much, I'm just watching out for myself. And we've become very self-serving in so many different ways. And the church, of being a part, of being committed to a body, brings us into, I believe, a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this morning, I have four areas that I'm going to make a case for being part of a local church. And actually, I'm going to push that even farther, of being a member, a committed member of a body of Christ. The first one, the church is a place to belong. Does anyone remember there used to be a TV show on called Cheers? Now, I'm not judging the show. I don't know I would recommend the show. I don't think the things were always good on the show. But I remember making a comment that really caused a rustle in one of my churches. And I said, one thing I liked about the show was the theme song. And I don't know if you remember the theme song. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. We're always glad you came, right? And the idea here, here was a bar where people went to because they belonged. I said, that would be a good theme song for a church. And I got kind of rebuked, pushed back on that. And so maybe that's not the best song, but I think the premise of it, that I think each one of us wants a place where people know us. Where people love us, people care for us, a place to belong. And because we are so isolated, when things go on in this world, we fall short. I want to take a look here in Acts chapter 2 at the very beginning of the church and look how they functioned. Starting at verse 44, chapter 2 of Acts, it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as was needed. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, first of all, we're going to see the idea of church membership, of being part of a church, is salvation. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are part of the body. Now, anyone's glad to come. I'm glad to have anyone who comes in. But be part of the body of Christ is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But notice what happened. They had all who came in together. They had all things in common. There were someone in need, and I sold some of my goods to help take care of your need. Right? We divided our goods among ourselves. One of the things that I've found over the years, that sometimes the world looks at the church as another social program. Right? I field phone calls all the time of people calling the church asking for something. And my heart goes out. But we're not a big church. We don't have a lot of money. I had a lady call me and told me and demanded that it was the church's job to buy her a new refrigerator. And she had picked one out for about $1,000, and if we would write the check to buy her fridge, she would much appreciate it. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's back up a little bit. Right? And I asked her where she's from, and she was from Belfast. I said, have you ever been to our church? She said, well, no, but you're a church, and it's your job to provide for me. And I'm like, I'm sorry. My refrigerator is barely running. I can't buy you one. But when I told her, I said, look, why don't you come to church? Right? Why don't you come and be a part? Because one thing you'll find of being part of the church, and many of you have known each other for many, 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 many years. Right? Some of you have gathered together that in you, if there is a need, the church steps in. Right? We talk about those who have surgeries and stuff like that, right? I would guarantee it. One thing that will never happen if you're a part of Stockton Springs Community Church is that you will never starve. Because one of the first things people are like, hey, can I bring you food? Look at me. Right? You know? I'm pretty plump and happy. Why? Because we belong to a body that helps each other. Right? Isn't it necessarily a formal program? Isn't that we have much? Isn't that we have some huge endowment? And that we have all these social programs that church can do? But one thing we do have is that love for one another, that when you are in need, we are there for each other. Amen? To be a part. I may not have much, but how can I help? And we've lost that. We really have. I mentioned that someone who was in the hospital had no one to visit them. Why? Because they weren't part of a body. They weren't part of a fellowship. But being a part of that, when you're not here, you are missed. How many of you guys have gotten a card, a letter, a phone call from someone within the body of Christ? Because you are missed or you are loved. Right? And not just from the pastor. But we are assembled body of believers together. And we love and care for each other. Be a part of that. And when the hard times comes, you will have a supportive team behind you. And we live in a society where people don't have that at all. Actually, prior to this, is the continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. I think these are all aspects as a church that we could do with one another. Of teaching the truth, the Word of God. Of fellowship, of breaking the bread, of eating together. And eating together has to be more than just with food. But there's a commonality that happens. That church is more than what happens here. As you sit here, you know, I'm up here doing all the talking. Church is more than that. And once again, I'm glad you're here, but if this is all you experience of church, you're missing out. Church is richer. We are a family. We are a community. We are a church. And it's not the steeple, it's not the walls. It's the people who make up all these things. It's interesting. In your bulletin, there should be a handout that I put in there. The Bible lists probably 59 one another's that the Bible tells us we're supposed to do. All the things that we are commanded as Christians to be involved in other people's lives. And at the end, I think there's 4 or 5 things we're not supposed to do. But I think this is really proof text that you cannot one another by yourself. You cannot fulfill these things if you're at home all alone. You cannot fulfill these things if you are self-centered in your life. All these things require us to be interactive with each other's lives, that we can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. We can build up one another. All these things are fulfilled in Scripture. And I want you to have that list, because I want to remind you that as a body of Christ, as a local body that's assembled together, this is our responsibilities to one another. It's not just the pastor's job. I'm just a cog. You know, I've shared with you guys before, I am the least talented person in this congregation. Right? If I was going to list my gifts, I would say talking is one of them. And I don't even do that very well. But you are rich in what God has enabled you to carry out the purpose. See, not only is the church a place to belong, but also is a church is a place for you to find your purpose. I think the world today is really scrambling to find meaning in life. What is the reason for all of this? And I think we have huge mental health issues. And I would say a lot of that falls into the idea that we've removed God. Because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Are you fulfilling it? Why are you here? Why are certain things happening in your life? What is the purpose of it all? And I believe the Scripture says that my God is able to take all these things and use them together for His good. There's a purpose for it all. I'm wired like I am for a reason. Right? One of those reasons is we get to exercise our gifts. Book of 1 Corinthians gives us this passage. We're going to go back to this. But I want to start here in verses 4 and 7. It says, there are diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That each one of us, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us a gift or gifts to be used for the body of Christ. Not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. And some of these gifts, some of you are helpers by nature. And God has wired you to help someone else. Some of you are givers, and God has designed you to give and to meet needs in other people's lives. Some of you are administrators, and the church needs organizations. Some of you are gifted in so many different areas that oftentimes I think one of the shortcomings of the church is that people aren't using their gifts to build up His church. What are you doing? How has God gifted you? And I'll tell you, as you find that function, as you find what you are geared to do, that God gives you a satisfaction and a joy to be used as you were designed for. Knowing that what you add to the body of Christ is needed. I was reading a book a couple years ago, written by a pastor of one of these really big churches. And I found it interesting that in that book he wrote, he goes, look, if you are sort of mediocre at something, don't expect to serve in our church. Right? He's like, we only use the best of the best. We only have the best of the best singers. And we only have the best of the best teachers. We only have the best of the best administrators. And so if you're mediocre, we just ask you to come and sit in the pew and give to support the ministry. I'll tell you, that breaks my heart. Because we are designed to serve. You are not designed to sit in a pew. Right? I always liken that. I'm going to use a sports illustration because you guys all know sports is my life. Right? As we gather here this morning, this is not the game. The game is out there. This is like the halftime rally. My job is to get you fired up, to give you the information, give you the knowledge, and then release you back into the world to be the church. See, the church should never dismiss. We just leave this building. But we are members one another. And God has wired you for a purpose and for a cause. Use it for the glory of God. That in here, right, we find our purpose, but also God uses this, the church, to bring me to maturity. Ephesians chapter 4, he says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Notice what it says here. Who does the work of the ministry? You do. What's my job? To equip you with that. To give you the knowledge, ability, support to carry out the ministry God has called you to do. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. That part of the church is to help you mature, to help you grow in your Christian walk. And you can't do that by yourself. You need to interact with one another. You know, one of the things I look at some of these churches and that we often have, like, we have, well, here's the old person's church, and then here's the young person's church. And we all parse each other out. I think that's shameful. I think as a body of Christ, we should have a diverse body. I need people who are older than I am. I can learn from their wisdom and discernment. I can learn patience with them. Right? And I need you, some of you older, need a younger guy, or even little kids. Right? We need kids who are running around. So we can learn patience and love and innocence and, right? All these things fulfill. I think the church is best served when there's a diversity of people. Not just people who are like me. But when I can function and learn from other people who are different from me, God uses that to mature me in my life. And also, the Bible tells us that it puts us under an authority. Now in here, God has laid out a structure of the church. He says to appoint elders or pastors and deacons. There's an organization for a purpose and cause to be carried out. That in here to learn to be submissive to us in an authority over our lives. And I know we don't like that today. But the Word of God is clear. Acts chapter 20 says, therefore take heed to yourself and all the flock. This is a letter to the pastors. Right? So take heed of yourself and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The role God has asked me to do is watch over the flock that God has given me responsibility for. And I will give an account for what kind of pastor I have been to you. Because God has placed me into your life to help you to grow and mature in the Lord. And I know many times I have probably failed in all that. It's an awesome responsibility. But I love each one of you. I pray for you all. In here, to take care and minister to you as best I can. Now think about that. You know, in the world, you don't have things like that. Right? I mess up on something and I had to go on hold. And I hate that they play awful music. I think the goal is they want you to hang up because they play the world's worst music. And I'm stubborn. Saw me on there and then they break in, right? Got this weird music and then they're like, oh, and your call is important to you. No, it's not. If it's important, you'd answer it. Well, finally, after waiting 45 minutes on hold, I got through to someone. And it was this nice gentleman down in the Philippines. By the way, it's 110 degrees down there. And I told him we were in the 60s, and he's like, oh, that sounds like heaven. I said, yeah, this heaven's going to freeze over here in a little bit. He goes, send it down. So he was a nice gentleman, but talking to him about 15 minutes, he's walking through his list of things. And finally, then he goes, oh, I can't help you. He goes, I got to transfer you off somewhere else. So he goes, can you hold on for a minute? So he put me on hold with more awful music. After 20 minutes on hold again with breaking in every 5 minutes, your call is important, liars. After about 20 minutes go by, all of a sudden the line goes dead. My call was not important to them. We see this everywhere in our society today. You know, dealing with so many people here are older than I am, time and time again, I've heard the same thing is, you know what? When you go to the doctor, you got to take care of your own, be responsible for your own health. Remember back in the day when you had one doctor who was watching out for you? And then you went other places, but you came back to your doctor? Nowadays, people are spread out all over the place. And it's like, who's watching out for you? You got to watch out for yourself. That's the way we are in the world today. God has designed the church. He has put leadership and authority in your life to help you, to love you, to help you along the way. And we see this structure, and so many people are missing out on this. They have no one in their life to play that role. Hebrews 13 gives the flip side of this, right? We talk about in Acts was talking to the pastors. Now this is talking about the congregation, right? This is the flock. This is obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Why? Right? Why do we have this authority structure? Why are we called to submit to the authorities over us? Why? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Once again, as a pastor, as the deacons, as the trustees, we will have to give a responsibility to God for how we minister to His bride. And I think He takes that very seriously. And notice what it says here, let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would not be unprofitable for you. Right? Don't resist, but be a part. You know, one thing I found, you guys know, you guys have been around for a long time. But oftentimes there are complainers and there are doers. Right? There's a minority of people who are trying to do everything. And then you got those who are willing to poke at them, but not willing to get up and help. God has not called us that way. We are all called to serve. What is your ministry? How are you fulfilling God's work in your life? The church is a place to belong. It's a place to find purpose. And then, I need you. And what this means is the person next to you needs you. Because oftentimes we talk about the idea of church and you're like, oh, what's in it for me, right? That's... But church isn't all about you. It's about one another. Right? Hopefully you're getting something out of it, but we're here for each other. I told you we were going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to hit these verses. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by this one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, have been made to drink into the one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. He's talking about the church, right? We're all made of individual parts, but we make up one. It says, and if the foot say, because I am not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not of an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Right? You know, I have some goals in my life. One of my goals in my life is never to be shot at. So far, so good. Right? I don't plan a trip to Chicago anytime soon. Right? But that's a simple goal in life, is not to be shot at. I have another simple goal. Now, Lord willing, I want to leave this world with the same body parts I came with. You know, I know they say, you don't need certain parts of your body. No, I like to hang on to all the parts of the body as I can. Now, I know that may not be true. I know some of you have substitutions. Some of you are bionic, right? But the body of Christ is the same way. Each one of you belongs. Each one of you is important. God has not called us all to be the same. Imagine if you were all exactly like me. How scary would that be? No. That you have a perspective. You have an ability. You have gifts. You have all those things that you are valuable within the body of Christ. And I am convinced that one of the shortest comings of the church is that people aren't willing to be a part of being belonging and being used of God. And the church is handicapped. Each member is important. We are called to build up each other. That's what it says here. Therefore, comfort one another, edify one another, just as you are doing. You are a blessing to me. Every Sunday, I look forward to you, of seeing you. And when you're not here, you're missed. This morning, we have people who aren't here. I don't know about you, but it makes me sad. Oh, I was looking forward to seeing so-and-so. Oh, I don't see them. Now, I'm not saying there's not reasons for people not to be here. Right? I need understanding and grace, and you need that as well. But gone are the days when we had people who were just committed. Like I said, growing up, when the church doors were open, my family was there, and we were serving and doing. We were a part. Right? I know over the last few years, we've had some very committed members of the church who the Lord took home. And who's taking their place? Who's committed? Who's sold out? Who's making a difference? We're told to be kind to one another. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those of the household of faith. We are called to rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep, for the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. We are called to be there for each other. If you are hurting, I should hurt too. If things are going well in your life, I should be rejoicing alongside. Doesn't matter your age or what's going on in your life. We are called to be together. We need each other. We truly do. Let me tell you something. If you think you don't need anyone, I don't know what to tell you. I always tell people, you know what? You get out of church what you put in. You do. As you invest in people's lives, you get enriched. As you are faithful, God's faithful back. We see these things carried out loud. Lastly, right, for the case for the church, it is a place to belong. It's a place to find your purpose. We need each other. And last one, it adds to the kingdom. Take a look here in Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. So continue daily one another in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And what happened? As the church was doing what the church is supposed to do, what happened? The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Right? As the world sees us functioning, we just sing that song, they'll know we are Christians by our what? Our doctrine? No. By our what? By our love. For what? One another. Right? There are people who don't want to be a part of this church because sometimes how we act. You know, as we go through, and it's interesting, you know, over the years we've had visitors. And what you'll find oftentimes when people come and visit, you know what is, I think, is a discouragement to them? When they come, they see all the empty seats. Right? You go to Bangor, you see some of these other churches that are hip and happening and they're full. And there's something about people attracting people. And I think if I could be real honest for a moment, because can you imagine me not? But when God's people become unfaithful, the church does not grow. You make an impact when you invite someone, right? When someone comes and says, hey, I saw, right? We see these connections as we are together, as we are investing in the body of Christ, it will grow. And we're told to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be reaching out. And it's not just the pastor's job. Because the pastor is not the church. We all are the church. Amen? So don't go to church. What? Be the church. If this building burnt down, we are still the church. We'll meet somewhere else. That we are a body of believers who love the Lord and love each other. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll wrap up with this. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Right? We're involved in each other. The list you have, all the one another's. These are things that you are called to do to other people within the church. Not forsaking the assemblies of yourself together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another. So much so as you see that day approaching. I was talking with Matt beforehand. You watch the news, it gets discouraging. I don't think this world is getting better. We make it through the election. I don't think that's going to change a whole lot. And as we see the Lord's return coming closer and closer, folks, we need each other more and more. I need to be encouraged, supported, loved. You need those things as well. And folks, are we called to invest in the empty things of this world? Or invest our time, money, and energy in things of the kingdom of God? You know, I'm going to put out there, because a lot of these things can only be accomplished within the church by being a member. Membership allows us to commit to one another. It allows us to protect the doctrines that we believe. It puts us under the authority, the structure that God has laid out. And I want to encourage you, because I know we have a lot of folks here who have been faithful, who have been coming, but I want to encourage you to jump in and make that commitment. And say, you know what, Pastor? I want to be a member of the church. And what we'll do is give you the church constitution and read what we believe. And then all you got to do is share with the deacons of when you came to the Lord. It's not hard. It's not difficult. But I really want to encourage some of you to get off the fence and get involved. I need you and you need us. Some of you have been dating the church for a long time. We're glad you're here. I want people to run out of here and like, right? No, we're glad you're here. I want to encourage you to get hitched, if you will. And I believe God has great things in store. And I know this is on Facebook and recording. I talk to those people. If this is your church, we're glad you're on here. We're glad you watch. We're glad you listen. Find yourself a church body. A place to belong. Where you can be used for the glory of God. We have too many people who are just in the comforts of their home. Not making a difference for Christ. Because I believe they're out of God's will. We talk about getting saved, giving your life to Christ, believing Jesus died on the cross for your sins, accepting that. Then I believe in baptism, of following the Lord in baptism. And the next step is to join the church.